Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Mike, Joey had a couple of penalties in that game.
Is just something that part of that matchup? Is there something you're seeing that just needs to be corrected?
I'd imagine those two receivers got something to do with it.
Man, Mike Tomlin handing out free passes like they're candy. Oh, those receivers, they had a lot to do with Joey Porter Jr. committing those penalties. Really? Why does he commit them against everybody? I will acknowledge it's worse against T. Higgins, but he has been handsy since the second he got into the league. Ray Fittipaldo, he joins us now as he does every Wednesday at 8 a.m. He's brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years, lgkg.com. Nicholas Harry Callis is a very good producer. We had some technical difficulties, and yet he powered through to get Ray Fittipaldo on the video stream here, our wildly popular YouTube stream. Hello, Ray. How we doing?
Good morning, guys. Great job, Nick. We got it done.
Nick deserves all the praise we can heap on him today. We'll just leave it at that. Ray, we'll start right there with Joey Porter Jr. Seemingly, he has regressed, and the Steelers' corners, which were thought of as a strength coming in, suddenly their biggest problem against Cincinnati. Do you think it was a Cincinnati problem, or is there significant cause for concern?
Well, it's always been a Cincinnati problem for Joey, and honestly, those two receivers are very good. That's probably the best tandem or one of the best tandems in the NFL. I think you finally saw a click because they finally got a quarterback. But Joey's been handsy with other teams. That's not the only team that he's flagged against. So, yeah, he does have to improve. And it's interesting, guys. If you look at that draft class, the third and fourth round picks are actually outperforming the two second round picks. And that's sometimes that happens, but Joey has a ways to go here before, they're going to decide to re-up him and sign him to a second deal. It's a big October, November, December for Joey here.
Ray, do you think that TJ Watt has been living up to his contract extension?
Listen, Joe was getting the ball out, 2.6 seconds. I don't want to make excuses for TJ, Alex, or Nick in that game, or Cam or Keanu for that reason. I think you guys saw, Keanu Benton beat that guy right off the snap. I mean, he was in the backfield before anything happened. That was really the only time they got to him. I think later in the game, TJ and Cam kind of combined for one, but that was it. So he was getting the ball out quick. Other teams are very aware of him. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's playing up to that contract. I would imagine in Cleveland, where they're 2-4, and Myles Garrett doesn't have the numbers either, I would imagine they're saying the same thing about Myles Garrett. It's hard. When you make that kind of money, it's hard to live up to the expectations.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us here. He, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on the Fan Morning Show. He's on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike Tomlin's explanation and Nick Herbig not playing that much didn't make much sense to me, Ray. He talked about needing to stop the run, and obviously they view Highsmith as the better run stuffer. Well, That doesn't explain why Herbig wasn't on the field when you knew the Bengals had to pass on their final right. drive. Why Herbig out there, man?
Well, he said keep watching, and like almost I inferred in that answer, it was like, okay, my bad. Like we should have had him out there more. That's basically how I read that answer. So, listen, Nick deserves to be out there. Terrell Austin said last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, that it's up to him to find ways to get him on the football field more. And, obviously that did not happen with as much frequency as people thought here in that Bengals game. So, the Steelers have been on the field a lot. There's really no excuse not to have one of your best pass rushers out there more than, 25 snaps per game. So I would imagine that's going to be rectified here this week here against the Packers.
Ray, do you anticipate us seeing Calvin Austin on the field Sunday night?
I do. Calvin Austin was hopeful. Mike said optimistic yesterday. So, yes, I do think Calvin will be back. And, that's going to juggle the targets there. Obviously a huge day for the tight ends against the Bengals. The Packers are a little bit different front from what they've been facing, but still a very good front. So you might see some different personnel packages in there. But, it'll be good to get Austin back. He was a big play for them early in the season. And if they can, get that back into their offense, that'd be a good thing for them for sure.
Ray, I think the Packers' secondary, specifically their corners, might be their weakest spot on defense. They are the best rush defense in the NFL, yet if you're throwing, you're inviting Micah Parsons to ruin things. So it's early for this kind of talk. It's just Wednesday, but how do you think the Steelers' offense will approach this challenge?
Well, the run game has been really good, especially on the right side there. Jaylen Warren is a tough back to corral and tackle. So they're not going to give up on it just because the Green Bay Packers are first in the league. They're going to try to run the football. I think it'll be part of a well-balanced game plan. But listen, if they're running up against the brick wall there, they're going to have to make adjustments and they're going to have to attack their weaknesses. So Arthur Smith is really good at that, guys. I've been really impressed with him so far this year. They're on the verge of being a top 10 scoring offense. They can move the ball a little bit more between the top 20s. But Arthur Smith will tell you, we just haven't had enough plays. And that was one other interesting little nugget from Tomlin yesterday. He kind of downplayed the fact that his defense has been on the field so much. I do think the offense has to possess the ball more. And I think the defense has to do a better job of getting off on third and fourth downs.
Ray, how much do you think that this game means to Aaron Rodgers? You think that he approaches this game as just status quo? Hey, we need to get a win underneath our belt after a loss on Thursday night against the Bengals. Or do you think it's deeper than that for Aaron Rodgers against the Packers this weekend?
He does a really good job of compartmentalizing that. He did it against the Jets. I'm sure he'll try to do that against the Packers. That ending in Green Bay wasn't as acrimonious as the one in New York. So there's like a lot of good vibes there still. I mean, you spend 18 years there, obviously the best years of your career there. Yeah, it's going to mean a lot to him. I'm sure he would have liked to have gone out, on his own note and not have Jordan Love there, but that's just the way the ball bounces. Like, the interesting part of this game is he's like coming full circle with the Packers, right? Like, he went through that like from 2005 to 2007 when he was with Brett Favre. He was the guy who was kind of in the background. Then he went through that with Jordan Love, and obviously, they shipped him off to the Jets. So it's really interesting how the NFL works. Aaron is proving that he can still play. He's one of the reasons why that offense has been so good. So, yeah, I'm sure he'll be out to prove it. But obviously, LaFleur and those guys, Jeff Hafley on defense, they're going to be out to, spoil his rematch here.
Ray Fittipaldo with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Ray, Arthur Smith has done a great job with the offense this year. I think that's inarguable. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson gets benched and Sean Payton's taking shots at him yesterday. Justin Fields hasn't been particularly great with the New York Jets, and Woody Johnson's taking shots at him yesterday. Do you think Arthur Smith gets the credit he deserves for getting the most out of some of these quarterbacks? It goes all the way back to Tannehill.
He deserves a ton of credit. I mean, I don't know that there's too many guys. I mean, just look at the track record that Justin Fields had in Chicago with, three coordinators in 4 years, I think, or something like that, something very, very close to that. And really the only time that he was like a consistent player was with Arthur Smith. I know that was only six games, but he was really he was good in those six games. He did what it took for the Steelers to win those football games. Maybe the secret was the Steelers knew exactly what he was. Like, they weren't going to have him, you know, drop back and throw the ball 35 times a game. Maybe these other teams have, you know, a little bit too high expectations just because he's a former first-round pick. So, yeah, unfortunate for Justin. But I don't know about you guys. I was just taken aback by what the owner said, by what Sean Payton said. I mean, these guys just don't know how to handle themselves with class. And I thought it was good that Russ sort of said what he said, and just totally out of line for Woody Johnson and, you know, what he said.
Ray, are you surprised by the performances of George Pickens this year?
I'm not. Dak is a really good quarterback. That team is built around the offense. They got a ton of weapons. So I am not surprised by that. I will say I'm waiting for the moment where something goes bad there. I mean, you could turn over a new leaf. Maybe you can get your life straightened out. But I think some of those issues that he faced here eventually will resurface, and they'll likely resurface when he's not happy with his role there. But as of right now, everything's hunky-dory, and, you know, he's out there playing football like the way that I think people thought he would play here. And he did at times, Doran, but it wasn't consistent because of his off-field issues.
I would say this leads us to an obvious place here. Are the Steelers going to trade for a wide receiver? If so, what are they looking for in terms of archetype? What are they looking for in terms of what are they willing to give up?
Yeah, I mean, they got two guys who are pretty similar in Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson. And I've said this going back to the summer. Like, I think if you're going to get anyone, you're going to probably want to get somebody who's more like DK, maybe a bigger body. Obviously, you're not going to replicate that kind of size and speed and what he does, but maybe a bigger body who can go downfield and catch the ball just in the event that DK is injured. So they've been very fortunate. You know, DK has been durable this season. He's been durable throughout his career. But, you know, if they don't make that move, we've seen Arthur's been able to, you know, create it with tight ends. There's enough targets to go around. So if they stay healthy, guys, they might be good, but you do like to have that insurance policy. And we'll see if Omar does anything here in the next 12 days or so.
Ray, if not, do you think that what we saw from Pat Freiermuth was game specific against Cincinnati, who he's always torched, or do you think we should expect that he's going to get a more consistent diet of footballs coming his way?
Yeah, I think against certain teams, you know, when teams play zone against the Steelers, I think Pat obviously is more effective. When they want to run the ball, you know, that's going to be a Darnell Washington and Spencer Anderson game. That's just where they are right now. I think it goes back to maybe the offensive line not being able to run out of 12 personnel. Sometimes that happens, and sometimes, you know, other people's snaps are in jeopardy because of that. But Pat's still a really good player. We saw that against the Bengals. I think he'll continue to have his games. I just don't know over the course of a 17-game season. Like, I was expecting maybe 800 yards, 6-7 touchdowns. I don't think we're going to see that just because I don't think he's going to be on the field, you know, to warrant targets and touches like that.
Last thing, Ray, is Darius Slay cooked?
Man, that guy from Princeton, it's not good when a guy from the Ivy League is beating you as bad as he did. Yeah. Hey, listen, I played in a league very similar to the Ivy League. So I'm
Ray, a smarty pants.
That wasn't good. Is he cooked? I don't know, but Slay couldn't keep up with Chase. Slay had a hard time on their number three. That's not good. Mike came out and said it yesterday. You know, he was expecting more. So I think the big thing is Joey's got to play better. They all got to play better. If they don't, their entire offseason plan is going to kind of go down the tubes here.
Man, that is disconcerting. Ray, we appreciate your time. Thank you for congratulating us on winning Station of the Year. Got a Marconi Award.
I saw that last night. Mueller tweeted that. Congrats, guys.
Mueller. All right. See you, Ray. Thank you. You're a big part of it. That is Ray Filippaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Yes. That Philip Fiona and Mueller, those guys Mueller. Rock in
was
the
he,
afternoon.
Was he joking or was he serious?
I don't know what he did there.
I think he was serious.
You got to know his name is Mulsey. They call him Mulsey.
Was he serious? Kallis, was he serious?
Do you think he was serious?
No.
I don't know.
But when the station opened, I know the intro had a big mistake in it.
It did.
Late nights with Andrew Filippiani. Overnight with Chris Mueller. Yeah, it was rough. Everybody else got their names pronounced right.
From that to this, congratulations on all our success. You got what'd you get? A Dickinson the one time? Dorenson.
Dorenson, yeah.
That was it.
Dorenson.
That was an all-timer.
Yeah.
Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Good stuff there from Ray. I want to react more to Mike Tomlin talking about the run defense because he talks about how, well, bad down and distance situations, that's why you give up the big plays in the passing game. Was it? We'll get to that coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We got to stop the run more effectively. We feel like that's a building block for us to play good defense, to get offenses in more one-dimensional passing circumstances, to get people in more advantageous possession down circumstances for us. Our inability to stop the run, I think, created that. And that was an issue for us. It really started kind of in the second quarter when Brown popped a couple of runs and it kind of went on from there. It never felt like we had an opportunity to stabilize that component of the game. We had been trending the right way in that space for a number of weeks, but certainly last week was a set back in that area, and I really think it created an environment where we weren't controlling the game from that perspective.
Agree and disagree with Mike Tomlin. Of course you can't let a guy who is averaging like 33 yards a game on the ground pop off the way that he did, get more than that on one run. It is also going to set you up in bad down and distance situations. I don't disagree with that. Getting run on like that is emasculating. It's going to alter your game plan. It cannot happen. That being said, there were still plenty of clear passing situations for the Bengals where you just need to get home. You need to get home.
Yeah.
Like their first 3rd and 10 that they faced, Cincinnati, they completed a 15-yard pass. You think they might be throwing on 3rd and 10? I do. 3rd and 7, you're going to throw on that down. 3rd and 5 to go, 3rd and goal from the 5, they ain't running the football. Probably not. I mean, you could, if you're trying to go for it on 4th down, you're probably throwing that football. Another 3rd and 5 later in the game, they gave up a 14-yard pass. And the two big plays on the final drive, when you knew they weren't going to run the football, the 15-yard out to Ja'Marr Chase and the 18-yard coverage breakdown, I mean, you knew they're going to throw the football. And that is just 6 examples there where you know they're going to throw. You get no pressure, and to me, it had nothing to do with the run.
Nope.
So I agree you got to stop the run, but that's not the only reason why the pass defense struggled, was because they ran the football.
So is that the excuse this weekend on Monday? Like if they don't stop the run and they get beat by Jordan Love in the air, that they didn't stop the run? Like, I mean, it all goes hand in hand.
Yes.
And I think that they overlooked the run which they shouldn't have. They were so worried about Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, that it's like, they're not going to run on us. They're not a good running team. And look what happened. That's why you have to be so balanced and focused whenever you go into games like that. And, you know, I still to this day think it was a one-off. I do. You know, we try to hit on all angles. Like, will they make excuses? I just said that, obviously, on Sunday. But I do think Sunday is going to be a different animal by the Steelers on defense. I think they get it fixed. I really do. I think that Thursday night was a one-off. They got caught off guard, and I think that they bounce back. I think that they have the quality players to bounce back in a game like this on Sunday night.
TJ Watt's been a much better player at home in his career than he has on the road, and if you look over the annals of time, is that how you pronounce that, annals?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not the other way.
Oh. You look back through the annals of time, pretty much all the elite pass rushers in the NFL are going to play better at home. Get off the ball, time up the snap count, silent count, things of that nature. So I would hope that he's going to have a better game. I do think they're going to be focused on the run in a way that they weren't last time out against Cincinnati. I think you're right. I think they took that element lightly. I do think you're going to see more Herbig, more Highsmith again, based off of these comments from Mike Tomlin. And I just found some stats. Oh, buddy. Wait till you hear these, but let's hear from Tomlin first.
Certainly, our inability to control the run and limiting one-dimensional passes circumstances probably affected his participation some. But again, we got a lot of good players. As I mentioned often, when you guys talk about playing time, just keep watching. We're going to utilize all our good players. Sometimes games unfold, whether it's schematics or matchups or just how things unfold. You guys were asking me about Muth last week. I'd imagine you're not going to ask me about Muth this week. And that's just an example of it.
Okay, keep watching doesn't absolve you for not playing Herbig on the final drive. I was watching then, and you needed a pass rush, and Highsmith was out there. Come on, man. That can't happen. But here's the statistics that aren't going to be surprising to a ball knower such as yourself, Doran. But, like, I hope Mike Tomlin knows these. Oh, we're playing more Highsmith because we're trying to stop the run. They view him as the significantly better run stuffer than Nick Herbig. Here's what they're giving up when Herbig's on the field. Yards per rush. 3.4. It's third best in the NFL. EPA per rush allowed. So that means the efficiency. It's first in the NFL with Herbig out there. Success rate for the opposition when Herbig's out there. This is running the football. Just 35.6%, seventh in the NFL. They're actually one of the best run defenses in the league when Nick Herbig's out there. You called this weeks ago. You said they're a better defense with Herbig, and this is to take nothing away from Highsmith. It's more to put Herbig over. They're a much better football team when Herbig's on the field.
To me, whenever you just read those stats, it comes down to one thing. And I truly believe this, that the Steelers, in their motto, in the way that they think, we're paying Highsmith a lot of money. We need him on the field over Herbig. We're not paying him. I think it comes down to that.
And it's very concerning because if Darius Slay performs this week or the following week the way that he did against Cincinnati, I wouldn't mind Echols getting a shot out there. I think it might be too early to say that Slay's cooked. He did not play well against the Bengals. Name a player who did. You can't. If Slay plays like that again, I'd play Echols. I don't think they will because they're paying Slay $10 million right. A season. It's very frustrating because they've put so many eggs into this year's basket. Hey, we want to win. We've got a chance to win. We went out and we acquired all these guys. Then you need to do everything possible to win. And that means throwing salary structure out the window. If Herbig's the better player, play the better player. If Echols is the better player, play the better player. If Cole Holcomb's a better player than Peyton Wilson, well, we drafted him in the third round. Don't care. Play the better player.
Well, that's the thing, though. We think that maybe one of those guys might be the better player, but they don't think that.
And that's a problem, too.
Yeah. They don't think that Echols is a better player than Slay.
You've been saying it for weeks about Herbig.
Yeah.
It's a better defense. It's a different defense when he's out there.
And I think people were overlooking the fact that how good he actually has been against the run. And they think that, oh, when Herbig's out there, they're going to be able to run the ball. That's not the case.
No, meanwhile, the first few games when Herbig didn't play week one, they ran the ball off the Steelers' butt.
Right.
And we saw New England when they weren't fumbling, they were running it well. They've run it at high. The more Highsmith has played, the worse they've been against the run. Use your eyes. I've got the numbers. You've been using your eyes. You meld the eyes and the numbers. You're not playing your best player. And the reasoning's crap. Well, it's about the run. And then, okay, even if it is about the run, Herbig, clearly the better pass rusher, the last drive of the game, you don't have Herbig out there, it's criminal. And maybe they get the ball out so fast it wouldn't have mattered, but I'd like to have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have seen Herbig out there. Pony asked a question yesterday. I think it's a good question, and I want to ask the same question to you, football man, coming up next. I'm out of breath now. I didn't expect to be yelling that
segment.
Woosa. Goose Frubba. We won an award. Our station of the year. We've been playing highlights from our show all morning long in celebration. We got another one right here. My eyes were going, so I had to get the glasses.
It looks good.
Adulthood.
Thank you, Dorn.
Yeah.
You never go back.
Shaved his beard last week, glasses this week. It's a new Adam.
It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a new Adam.
Well, I'm trying to keep things fresh in the marriage.
So that's why you got your eyes checked?
Well, listen.
She should get her eyes checked.
There's
Boom.
Dang. Did she?
Get her eyes checked?
Yeah.
No. She just doesn't wear her contacts anymore.
So it's blurry now.
And you know how Mulsey needs to chew those blue chews for his night out? His roll in the hay?
Mm-hmm.
My wife needs at least half a bottle of wine. That's not true. She's going to get mad at me for saying that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to 957thefan.com. Now here's Dorn.
How am I supposed to do a read now? What was that?
Gather yourself.
What
a yawn
and
a scream at the same time. I apologize.
Jeez.
Playing some of our highlights from the last year. The station won the most prestigious honor in radio. Large Market Radio Station of the Year, Marconi Award. Going to go out to a big dinner, I hope.
Maybe.
Get some statues or awards, whatever the hell they hand out. What do you call them? I don't know. I want one.
How many trophies have you won in your life, you think?
This is why I'm so excited. I've won very few. I won participation trophies. And I think, you know, every show, every person involved with the fan was a big part of this, obviously. So I feel like I'm a big part of this, and I won something. I got a ribbon for finishing third out of three in a race at Moraine State Park back in my crew days. Because we were third, we got the bronze ribbon, even though there were only three participants. I also was the best. So there's these competitions you do in the wintertime in crew where you're on the ergs, right?
What?
The rowing machines.
Yeah.
They're called ergs.
Uh-huh.
It's friggin' hell on earth, those things. And I was the only male coxswain in the category. So I got first place. So a literal participation trophy.
Wow.
And I got one more. I won a 100-meter dash in sixth grade. But unfortunately, I got it revoked because I was supposed to be running in the age up. And I only would have finished fifth in the age up. And so I still kept it. I said, I'm not giving it back, but I will always
Why were you supposed to run in the age up.
I entered myself in the wrong age bracket.
To win, so you could beat younger kids.
I didn't do it on purpose. Blame my parents. I'm sure they knew. They were hoping no one would notice, because I was tiny. A little itty-bitty thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So this means a lot to me.
So those are the awards that you've won in your life.
Yeah, where do you put this up with your All-American status? Oh, right, man. There, probably neck and neck.
No, last.
I mean, you told me I was your favorite teammate of all time.
One of.
You told me I was your favorite.
You're one of my favorites.
Who was your favorite teammate?
My favorite teammate of all time?
Say me. It's got to be me.
Of all time?
Bostic?
Wow.
Andre Johnson?
Jacoby Jones, probably.
Oh, yeah, that is right. You've said that before. Brandon Graham.
Brandon Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Tebow.
Tebow?
Mm-hmm.
Tebow.
Yeah.
You're putting Tebow ahead of me.
Yeah.
He is one of the great leaders of
Gronk.
All time.
Big Boo?
Not Hernandez?
Hernandez.
All right, very good. Congratulations to us on all our success. By the way, Donnie has landed in Naples, and he was charged with, in the 2.5-hour flight, naming as many Steelers as possible.
Did he tell you how many?
We set the over-under at 200.5. Donnie is claiming he listed, without the help of the internet, obviously, airplane mode, he has listed 275 Steelers.
That's pretty good.
He said he will send the list.
That's pretty good.
That's
a lot.
Sicko behavior.
That's a lot. Wow.
275 Steelers? What a great way to kill time on a flight,
though. That's a good idea. Wait, who came up with this?
I guess.
Wow.
I love that. I can't wait to see the list. There are going to be some names. Going to be like Ross Cockrell. I don't know why that's the name that popped into my head. He was a very nice man, that Cockrell. I talked to him a bunch back in the day. He's more of a zone guy. They had him miscast as a man corner, but a nice man. Cortez Allen, another guy who was very nice in the not good but very nice human cornerback category. Antoine Blake, he did not have much time for me.
What did Cockrell, did he go to Syracuse? Is that him?
Oh, man. See, I shouldn't have brought up Ross Cockrell.
One of those guys did.
He went to Duke. What? From Farmington Hills, Michigan. Hmm. 275 Steelers is gross.
That's wild.
All right, so here's the question Pony asked yesterday, and I think it is a good question. And we do have the bad taste in our mouth from the Cincinnati game and how porous the defense was. The three games prior, everyone was thinking, oh, wow, defense arrow pointed up. Starkey was singing their praises. We were singing their praises, and rightfully so. It looked like they had fixed everything. But on the whole, how many Steelers on the defense are playing better than we thought they'd play coming into the year? One guy immediately jumped to my mind, but only one.
Patrick Queen.
That was the one. I think until this game, Patrick Queen had been playing his best football as a Steeler. I thought he was unreal good in the Vikings game.
Well, maybe Herbig, too.
Herbig would be the other one.
Man.
Jalen Ramsey's made some massive plays. I thought he was outstanding against Cleveland. He sealed the deal against the Jets. There have been a lot of great splash moments, and they hadn't gotten any splash moments like the last 2 years from Minka Fitzpatrick. But he was awful in the Bengals game. Slay was awful in the Bengals game. Porter was awful in the Bengals game. And this was the game that they were supposed to really flex their proverbial man-to-man coverage muscles. Like, I've been really disappointed by Peyton Wilson relative to the expectations. Hayward had a bad first game. Watt didn't play well in the first game. Neither one of them played well in the last game. Neither one of them have the statistics that would tell you that they're all pros right now. Not playing up to the $40 million contract, TJ Watt. Derek Harmon's a rookie, so I'm not going to throw him under the bus. Wyatt Black's a rookie, not going to throw him under the bus. Keanu Benton, he flashed in the Cincy game early than not at all.
Mm-hmm.
He had been better playing next to Harmon, but he still hasn't taken a step. I don't think, apart from Herbig and Queen, there's a single guy that's playing better than we thought they would coming in. That is damning from a coaching standpoint. Or maybe a talent evaluation standpoint. Either way, it's no good. 412-928-9370. 275 Steelers is sick. Did he send it to me?
That
he
is
didn't
a
send
lot.
It yet. I can't wait to see this list. I'm going to devote way too much time to this list when we see this list. How many players have played for the Steelers in the history of their franchise? I'll effort that information during the break. When we come back, Mike Tomlin doesn't know who cuts his grass.
What NFL team was former Pitt All-America and your current co-worker, Doran Dickerson, drafted by in 2010? Doran, I need you to turn around and not look at him.
Oh, man.
You cannot help him.
Oh, Harry.
What team was former Pitt All-America? I believe he was technically drafted and given a wide receiver number, but he does hold the combine record for tight end 40 time. What NFL team drafted Doran in 2010?
So I want to say the Lions, but that's not true, and I don't believe it was the Patriots. I want to say the Houston Texans.
Oh, yeah! My God! Let's go!
If you could see Doran before Callis answered, I could feel pain washing over him emotionally. When Callis pulled the Texans out of the hat, it was like he won the lottery. The friend lottery.
That was a moment from the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon this year. Just one of the great things we do at 93.7 The Fan to make us the number one large market radio station in the country, won the Marconi Award. And we are taking a victory lap this morning because if we don't pat ourselves on the back, hey, who will?
Yep.
That's how you do it.
Yes.
50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Now, Harry also grabbed another clip from this, and I don't know what this one is, but we're going to play it anyhow, again, because victory laps. Doug Whaley joining us from 9 till 10, by the way.
This Pitt running back beat cancer, was a key part of the last Pitt team to beat Penn State, was drafted by the Steelers, and now plays for the Arizona Cardinals. Who is he?
The chair gave out underneath him.
James Conner! Yay! Yay! I broke another chair at the buzzer. Woo!
That was Harry passing his Pittsburgh sports citizenship test. So, Harry, that's why he works here at The Fan.
Yes.
Forget about Ball State logos and UAB logos.
USF.
He knows his Pittsburgh sports. Well, USF should probably have been known, but that's okay. Good stuff there. Sports Talk on The Fan presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. How about Mike Tomlin yesterday? What, he's getting asked about grass because Narduzzi was then talking about grass and it, field turf sucks. And Mike Tomlin said this:
I am not a grass expert. I hadn't cut my grass in a long, long time. I coach football. I'm gonna stay in my lane. I don't even know who cuts my grass. Okay.
And the media cackles in the background. Sales guy Brent just came in here, and he swears that the same guy that cuts his grass cuts Tomlin's grass. Anthony Delafamine? Delafamine Landscaping? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. How do you not know who cuts your grass?
He's never home. He's never home. And he probably has somebody that handles that for him. Somebody that as soon as he moved to Pittsburgh and became the coach of the Steelers was like, hey, you need these little things done. We'll take care of it. Okay. He's never home. He probably has no idea.
Do you think former Steelers PR guy Ryan Scarpino was tasked with that?
Maybe.
Find someone who can cut my grass.
I mean, when's Tomlin been home at like 12 p.m.?
I would venture to guess that Mike Tomlin sleeps less than any coach in the NFL. Because if you can't blink, you can't close your eyes. And if you can't close your eyes, you can't sleep. Sound theory?
Yeah.
None of those guys sleep.
No, 4 hours.
Tops. Sean McVay came out the other day and said, I used to think it was cool not to sleep. I used to think that was necessary. He's like, you can't be healthy if you don't sleep. So now I sleep. And you know what? He's allowed because he's won a Super Bowl more recently.
Yeah. That would, if I was ever a head coach, my coaches, like our first meeting would be probably 7 a.m., but I don't want to see you in there before that. And I want to see you, I don't want to see you here after 5:30. Like, you are not staying here. Like, you need to go be with your family. The little things, that stuff matters. Like, the mental side of it. Oh, like, you don't need to overexhaust yourself. Like, we're going to. Like, get your work done in between those times. Like,
no, and you can get it done.
And you can get it done, right.
And less is more, too. Like, everybody, no matter what your job is, even this job, people, all you guys got a dream job, we do. And that's not lost on us. That's why the Marconi is so special. You get burned out.
Yeah.
Everybody gets burned out. You wake up and it's 30 degrees outside and it's 3:30 in the morning. And then at 5 o'clock, it's dark and you're trying to stay awake. Yeah, you get burnt out. I had a point to make there, but it just sounds really like I'm complaining.
Hmm.
All right. Doug Whaley's going to join us Wednesday with Whaley. This is your final hour before baby comes out.
Sure is.
Are you going to name the child Harry?
No.
Well, that's rude.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. It's life.
You can join Chris Muller at the Lowe's in McCandless. You want to see a champion in action? Go see Mulsey at the Lowe's in McCandless this Sunday from 11 until 1. The Lowe's Earn Your Sunday Tour will be set up from 10 a.m. to 2. You can play Madden 26, view player lockers, and register to win tickets to Super Bowl 60. This one-of-a-kind interactive experience is the perfect pregame primer. Lowe's is an official partner of the NFL. Go see Mulsey at Lowe's. I could see Mulsey being right at home in a Lowe's. He's a big domestic guy.
You think?
I do. He's always doing the grilling and the cooking and the weird recipes, the gumbo, the Tuscan-inspired soup. I think he's a home improvement guy, that Mulsey.
Is he good at it, though?
Better than me.
Yeah, you're nailing drywall, so.
That's right. All right, Doug Whaley from 9 o'clock until 10. That's next. First Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 51, low of 43. Tomorrow, high of 51, low of 43, but 45% chance of rain. It's Fan Morning Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.